Blog Talk Radio.
You are now listening to the international radio personality, Dr. Lorenza D. Smith, the host of the Dr. Lowe Show, produced by the Smith Way Production Company. Dr. Lowe is the real relationship guru with no filter. Dr. Lowe, make it do what it do.
You don't own the rights to that song. I am Dr. Lorenza D. Smith, the host of Talking Sports Plus on what we call Hump Day. Wonderful Wednesday. Truly a blessed day, and we're thanking the Lord and giving Him the praise for allowing us to see another Wednesday. And when we say sometimes Hump Day in the middle of the week, we're here to make it do what it needs to do. We're going to talk about historical black colleges and universities, high school and middle school athletics. So we are the voice of those institutions. And we're going to give you some positive talk about coronavirus, COVID-19, social unrest, and what's going on in sports as of today. The call-in number for us, if you want to chat with us, is 347-857-4192. Press 1 and I'll make sure I give you an opportunity to chat with us by identifying the last four digits of your cell or telephone number. I actually give you a location. If you want to give your name, it's fine. And offer your comments, offer your questions, or offer your expertise. Now, if you want to be a part of the show via internet, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/The Smith Way Production. You can check us out that way, or you can go to Google and check us out. In many ways, you can just be a part of this. So we're so glad to have you here. I'm really excited because as we broadcast 5 days a week, where we alternate during the week, we may do a Monday, a Wednesday, and a Thursday, or a Tuesday, Wednesday, and a Friday, we added two more countries that's checking us out. I'm so glad to be international. We had 16 countries, including the United States. Now we have the addition of our neighboring countries to the north, Canada, and to the south, we have Mexico. So we have listeners in both places. Really excited about having that opportunity. These individuals on the North American continent, and we're just going to make it happen. We're just going to make it do what it do, just like we said in the introduction. Again, this is Talking Sports, and we're so glad to have this opportunity. This vision came about in 2017. Actuality was August the 27th. We wanted to get everything exploded. We wanted to get everything started. We started off with this show, which was talking real about sports. Then at the time, I was talking Sports Plus. So we're excited. Now we're moved to having five other shows, and at times seven, when we go into a what we would call a preview of what's going to be happening in the show. So glad to have that opportunity. And the team I have joining me, I'm so glad they've taken their time now, right now on the line, and everything is volunteer. We thank this individual for joining us because we're going to talk some sports. The title of our show is America's Sports in crisis, COVID-19, and social unrest. This young man now hails from North Alabama. He's a coach in the public school system, Huntsville public school system, at Chapman Middle School. He's a basketball and holds 6 girls' titles and 4 boys' titles, and been a part of 2 football championships at the middle school level. We call him our king because he's on time, he's on task, and we're so glad to have him. None other than Coach Tremaine Edwards. How you doing, Coach?
How you doing, Dr. Phil? I'm glad to be here tonight, Dr. Phil. Hot topic, baby. Let's roll.
Yeah, we're gonna make it do what it does, just like it. That's our slogan. We're going to make it happen. So get ready for it. Anything we play in the music form, we don't own the rights. Let me say it early so you can understand we're trying to come at you and we're trying to offer you something to encourage you. And that's what this talk is going to be about on this sports show. We're going to talk historical black colleges and universities, high school, and middle school athletics in the southeastern part of the United States. So being blessed to be able to share some things on what's going on, why the COVID-19 is still in wave one. And that's one of the things I heard from some people saying, wave one, we thought it was in wave two. No, it's just in wave one. And we got a lot of things going on. We know what happened as of March 13th. The country was just shut down, and we attempted to reopen in May, and we are having some outbreaks right locally where I am in Montgomery, Alabama. We're one of the hot spots where governors of other states are saying, if you go to Alabama, you have to be quarantined 14 days. So you see where we are, and particularly in Montgomery, Alabama, where cases are just spiking and out of control. And we just got to keep in mind, you just like the hashtag said, stay at home and stay alive. If you don't have to be out, don't go out. If you go out, wear your mask. Yes, there's a mandatory mask ordinance was put into play, but people said, if I'm around 10 or more, I wear a mask. No, wear your mask at all time because it's spiking, and we won't see where it spiked to from a lot of things that happened when we kind of open up from the beginning back in May. You'll start seeing these things happen, so you need to make sure you are not allowing yourself to fall in that situation. Don't think because you're not in that high-risk age group, which is 60 and above, we'll say, and you think it because a lot of the things are the individuals who have been infected now are as young as 17, because we're going to talk about some programs, some football programs who, when the door opened up on June the 1st to start what we call workouts, summer workouts, some of them have to shut down because they have players who's been tested positive. You have professional players being tested positive. So it is, and those guys are not all 60, and no one close to 60. Think about it. These people are in the age of 17 to 35. So just keep that in mind when you're out here, when you're out here running and not worrying about the mask and not thinking it won't happen to you. It'll happen to you. Hashtag stay at home and stay alive. Coach Edwards, we're going to get this thing started tonight. We're going to kind of look at the situation with high school and a lot of programs shutting down to do the cleaning and do everything that's needed, practicing safety measures. We thought from the beginning, before they opened, they was going to supposed to do it. Now, I know several places up in North Alabama, and you're aware of them as well as myself. I want you to kind of share your thoughts. What's the thought up in that area? What is the frame of mind dealing with COVID-19 in the high school level, in the interscholastic area? And we'll move to the college, and we'll move to the pros as well. But right now we're going to start off. That's breaking news because we had another program that closed down today as of 4 o'clock. So we have programs. Coach, can you share some thoughts on that, please?
Dr. Smith, I'm saying this just to come at it about the coaching and the culture with the COVID-19. Up in the north, we have a team, Appleville. Appleville had 3 kids test positive. When the 3 tested positive, they shut down the program and me. So the question be going to be through the year, because I don't think they're going to stop it, Dr. Smith, with no Friday. Are we shutting down the team? You know, doing the testing procedures? Are we shutting down the team? Or are we just taking those players out? I've had that come to me today through a meeting. So we're in the middle. So that's what I said from the beginning. Is this virus this serious? I keep preaching it. And you know what I'm saying? Like I told people in the beginning, we had one or two people in the United States with us, and they shut down everything. We have millions now. And we're thinking about cranking back up. I'm lost with that. Because like I said, at the beginning the threat was on 50. And that's still out of 1 to 10. We shut everything down. We shut schools down. We canceled the tournament. We won't worry about testing no players. But now we have the ability to test. I don't know if we make a step. I don't know all that. But all I know is the likelihood of you to get it is high in a football setting, in a basketball team setting, due to the stereotypes we've been given. With the amount of coaches to kid, it's no way that I'm at Hoover where they have 110, 115 kids where they can equal out their coaches to be with those certain amount of kids. It's no way they can have. So, like you said, it's student dice now, Dr. Smith. You're going to win some. You're going to lose some. But I think they're going to mold it up to a system where it doesn't hurt the team. So they will stay. You just take that player, them one or two players that are infected, and we'll play with the rest. So, Dr. Smith, it's going to be something. It's going to be a little streak. So that's all I got, Dr.
We're really going to look at challenging experts. I know you've been watching news, and you're at the point that you're so tired of seeing reports about COVID-19. What I would recommend you, because of the mental health and wellness, it is best to step away sometimes from that television instead of watching the news, trying to see every newscast that come on. Now, we had a little back off about 2 or 3 weeks because of social unrest. We kind of backed off a little bit. We weren't much talking about it, but COVID-19 wanted to remind everybody, I'm still here. So it comes back with a vengeance. It's been mentioned by experts the next 2 weeks will be very crucial. One of the things Coach and I have been talking about is shutting the complete program down. Now, we're thinking about football. We hadn't even thought about the other fall sports that's going to have to do come in here and play as well. That's volleyball. It ain't all about you being able to contact those individuals. Those young people, they're going to be around each other. What effect are we going to see that going to affect a season if there's like three players at Abbeville, three players at Chester, three players at several other schools, and you talking about shutting down for 48 hours so you can clean and you can sanitize and you can do the things that from the beginning, when the notice came out from the Alabama High School Athletic Association, the Florida High School Athletic Association, the Georgia High School Athletic Association, the South Carolina, and I'm calling out states that's in this area that we're broadcasting directly to because they're part of the Southeastern. They already had the measures in place. We knew that was going to be a challenge. It requires hard work to make sure you in that workout facility, you're inside. The misconception that a lot of coaches have, you know, we're going to work in 10 in a group and we're going to clean it off every time. But when we get outside, we're going to line up in 3 or 4 lines right behind each other, not practicing social distance, and we're running up and down the field. And if you've ever played sports and played especially football or any sport, football particular because you're outdoors and you have a tendency to want to release some kind of liquid. So you have a tendency to propel moisture from your mouth more so in football than you see in basketball, in volleyball, which is indoors. Some of these things are happening because when these individuals go outside, they're not continuing with the safety measures that was recommended by the High School Athletic Association after talking to the doctors. Some people believe that if they in essence, don't, you know, if they go and infect whoever they need to infect now, don't have to worry about during the season. That's another thing, the misconception, that's when players are beginning to come back. Let's go and get those ones early now, like summer workout, early now where we can, you don't have to worry about it because we've been done it. But just remember, just because you may have it and do your 14-day quarantine, we've heard so many thoughts, and I'm going to just share mine. You can't say you can't get it again. You can't say that the person that never was identified that's on that team as a carrier, had no symptoms, is he not going to continue to infect other individuals? This is something we've been talking about on all levels. So we just wanted to bring that up and start the show off talking about those schools shutting down their programs for 48 hours so they can clean up at other points until after the 4th of July. They're shutting their program down. So this is just the beginning of it. We're talking about it's going to spike so in the next 2 weeks. And even in September, what are we going to do? How are we going to respond? We're going to talk more about that. We want you to be a part of it. We want you to chat with us. The call-in number is 347-857-4192. Press 1, and I'll make sure you're able to chat with us. You just ask for your name and your location, and then you can offer your expertise. Coach, we're going to kind of move back to our format, and we're going to kind of look at the college now. Because in our coaching corner, we always kind of focus on all levels of college. Then we have a place for the historical black colleges and universities. There's a large number of student athletes that are reporting to campuses, athletes at these Power Five conference, Power Five school, and they have COVID-19. We've had schools like Clemson has 28 individuals, 21 or even 23 ball players and 5 to 7 staff members tested positive. Coach, what's your thought on that? What effect will COVID-19 have on college athletics? Now, we can say high school because you can quickly shut it down on high school and you ain't lost a whole lot, but you will lose a lot if you shut it down. And especially we're going to talk about the FCS, which is the football championship subdivision, which is what your Division I AA, Alabama State University, Tennessee Chattanooga, those schools play in right there. But your Power Five is University of Alabama, Auburn, Georgia, Florida, Florida State. Coach, what's your thoughts on that? What effect will COVID-19 have on college athletics? Not only just football, but we're going to include volleyball. We're going to include any other sport that's participating in the fall. What's your thoughts on that, Coach?
Big time, Dr. Smith. The effect will be big time. I was talking yesterday with a friend about, you know, the situations with the kids coming in with the COVID. If my state is a hot state, it's going to be hard for my parents to let me go, Doc. People aren't thinking about parents right now. Parents are looking at these numbers, and they're looking at these numbers where these kids are going. So it's going to be a sticky situation, Dr. Smith, because I see a lot of kids opting out to playing due to COVID cases. You know, we can sit up here and hold a scholarship over their head all we want, but when mama says, and you ain't going because they number too high, and can your coach guarantee your safety, Dr.? Because after practice, too, coaches go their way, the player go the other. So it's going to be tough, Dr. Quarantine hours will be serious. The seriousness of the discipline to be on the team is going to really be tested this year. I guarantee it, Dr. Smith. Coaches will keep their players at bay. I guarantee players will be instructed to be in certain spots. They are going to be instructed. The curfews will be strict on these campuses. There ain't going to be no running in and off campus. But it's going to get real, Doctor. People don't look at it like that. But I'm looking at it as in a sense where I'm going to say, if I'm a college coach, what do you want your kids to do, Doctor? I'm going to keep them at bay. Y'all going to stay in this dorm room. If I have to sleep here with y'all, y'all going to stay here so we can be eligible to play. My job is on the line right now. You know what I'm saying? It's a lot of stuff that goes into play, and it's going to be a lot of discipline. Like you said, you sit up and fuss at me all the time about the discipline of the people in Montgomery and not taking the COVID serious, but discipline will be key. Discipline will be key at these schools. So that's going to determine whether you have an outbreak or whether you outbreak through the season.
Exactly. And the thing about it, it's a whole different ball game when we're talking about high school, which kids leave and go home to their parents. In college, when you have over 120 athletes, remember, they are still student athletes. So to have be student athlete, that means you're going to mingle with individuals outside of that. They haven't been tested. You've been tested, but they may not have been tested because it's not been mandatory for them to be tested to come back to college. We're opening up these campuses, and we talking about dealing with. Let's look at our numbers of people being tested over the country. We our numbers are not great of people even being tested. One of the misconceptions, and we started off, you only could get a test if you were showing the symptoms. Now we're trying to rev it up, and we're trying to get everybody tested, which we're running real slow at doing that because in the state of Alabama, 7% of its population, in the same way in other states, are being tested. You got another 93%. And something else that occurred today out of the state of New York, the state of New Jersey, and I think it was several, one or two other states in there up in that area on that Atlantic coast, saying that anybody coming, I said it earlier, coming from Alabama, Florida, Georgia, going to have to go into a 14-day quarantine. What you think that's going to do to your football program? That's another wrinkle. See, we have to think about safety in many ways because those states are doing the same way Florida did New York. When you come to Florida, when no sports going on in, when you was coming from New York, when the epicenter, which is New York, and we saw the bodies being put in trucks or freezers and everything, those individuals left New York going to Florida. Even if they had property, had second homes there, went to the beach, had to be quarantined 14 days. This will affect a college football program, too. Y'all had to remember that. Because if they adopt that, all the other states going to adopt it as well. So that means what are you going to do 14 days missing practice, coach? How are you going to handle that, coach? You know, how are you going to handle trying to galvanize and keep those students? You're going to spend 2 hours with them, and the other 22 hours, they out among their friends. We have something we have no understanding, and we are in a hurry to get back to normalcy. We have a new norm now. The new norm is wearing masks. A new norm will be making sure you wash your hands for 20 seconds. A new norm is social distancing. That's the new norm. And you cannot do that around young people. Coach Edwards can share his thoughts in regards, because he coaches and teaches in a middle school. High school, middle school, college. Young people going to be up on top of each other. Young people will do things like release saliva from their mouth intentionally on another person. How do we deal with that? Because before we had the thought that it only, as I said earlier, affected people 60 and older. And that was my biggest problem with hearing that even coming from your public health director, your governors, and even the president. And know that it's going to affect 60. So that gave us an insecurity down here when we was younger. What are you going to do? Coach Edwards want to share some thoughts in regards to said young people wearing masks in school. That's impossible. That's why we open the door for the option of doing online from home, that you don't have to send your child back to school if you choose not to. That's why they have to look at Coach Edwards. Can you just kind of share a day in a middle school? And I can share your day in every level, and I can tell you exactly because I retired a couple years ago, but I put 30-plus years in education. So I've served at every level from K now up to college. So I know they're going to be around each other. They're going to be. Coach Edwards, what's your thoughts on that, how we can practice safe measures not only a football player, but they got to contact with your student body, with your the rest of the campus. Tell me your thoughts there, Coach.
Dr. Smith, this is tough without COVID, Dr. Smith, trying to inflict any kind of authority on these kids, even if it's the right thing. So when you like I'm saying, Dr. Smith, I feel they still there. These kids aren't gonna see anything wrong with it. They see COVID, but I don't think it's to a sense where it's going to be where like it's gonna be that serious to them, because you know a lot of people say you know the home school is where it's at. Man, these kids looking crazy at home school. They looking like home school. Well, I ain't going no home school. I want to be with my friends. It's a social. School isn't about school no more, Dr. It's a social amphitheater so they can get along, so they can talk, so we can – who got the nice clothes? You know what I'm saying, Dr. So these kids ain't looking at school. Like, even if they could go online and stay at home every day, they would. Anything that you're supposed to do, they don't want to do. That's going to be the new norm. And you know it, Dr. Smith. When it comes down to these sports, if we take it away from them, you're going to see some foolishness happen, Dr. Smith. I guarantee that. Just like with the college, you got to figure out a way to give them that fee. You know, me, I wouldn't study. And I'm going to roll on as an athlete. But these kids, some of them weak-minded, and their parents want them to play. So it's going to be tough, Dr. Smith. Like you said, the new norm will be so different that it's going to change the world. Like I said, you can sit up here and, like you said, your smaller kids are making that decision about virtual school. Your older kids, they won't make a decision. Only way they would make it is if they can find a way to be at home by themselves all day and their parents going to work. So it's almost a stable. It's going to be a backlash from this virtual school, doctor. It will be a backlash. If it's teen pregnancy rate going up, dropout rate going up, it's something going to happen in the midst of this coronavirus 19. Go ahead, doctor.
Exactly. And one of the things was said by one of the pundits on one of the sports shows on probably Monday morning, and it was talking about COVID-19 and how the professionals choosing, basketball players choosing, having the choice of not going to the bubble in Orlando, especially when Florida has its big spike and everything. And he said something about young people. All it takes is one young person to contract COVID-19 and pass. Ain't no more sports. I'm telling you, parents going to be frantic. I know we saying they can't stand to be at home, but they ain't going to chance their child going out there. And it makes a whole lot of sense. Right now, we hadn't had, like I said, it was a misconception that it don't affect young players. It don't affect young adults, college players. It don't affect them because it was doing it to elderly people, the people high risk. Now it is. It's causing blood clots in young people. And from the blood clot, they're having heart attacks, strokes. So it's going to take that. So we need to be honest with people. Be honest with your own children. It would help. I was reading an article today that was talking about do we need police? Do our community need police? And it was the article, the author was saying about we don't if everybody willing to take the responsibility of dealing with their neighborhood and dealing with their community. You know, on our Monday night show, we have a thing that we said, block by block. Change is not going to be able to happen until we take care of block by block. No one's going to come in riding on a white horse. Same thing will happen with COVID-19. When your child, you tell your child every day behavior should be up to par. You should have been telling that a long time. But their peers may not hear that. But what we have to do, especially in these trying times, to let them know that death will occur if you don't follow the rule. And everybody said, why are we trying to be hard? You have to be hard. These are challenging times. These times are never, we have never experienced in any of our lifetime. If it is, maybe one or two person who's over 100 years old have experienced this. So a pandemic. So be for real. We have to kind of tighten up, parents. You got to tighten up. If you're not comfortable, you make the decision. Don't let your child make the decision. And the thing about it, more parents make the decision and then hold the school system, hold the coaches more accountable for what they said they're supposed to do, because you shouldn't be having these situations at these schools, high school in particular. We can say when they're coming back to college, when they tested, when they got there, but these kids are out there doing training. These weren't the first days that Abbeville went out on the field. Tested, that ain't the first day. So that means these people was not checking that temperature. You don't have the finance. Think about your son. Think about your daughter life. And I want you to keep that in mind. Even if they're going to the Power Five, they're going to Historical Black Colleges and University, or they're going to FCS, think about it. But the call-in number is 347-857-4192. Press 1, and I'll make sure you have an opportunity to share your thoughts on the chat live, because I identify with the last four digits of the cell or telephone number. I appreciate everybody joining us on Instagram as well as Facebook. I want to make sure I get some shout-outs started off. We have the Blue Menace 1914, member of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity. Thank you so much for joining us. We have _Miss_Renee. Thank you, Renee, for joining us. You're pretty much all the time. I can see you hidden in there and being a part. Thank you. We have King Zeus 1914, member of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity. Brother Ward, thank you for joining us. Then we have Save and Bless joining us as well on Instagram. We have others pulling in. We have several people on Facebook, and I'll give you all your shout out in a minute or two. But we just got to keep this in mind. This is the time when we say, just like the author said about we can control our community, we got to step up and control our communities. We can't sit back and allow things to happen. We can't say we're not going to be what? Man, ain't going to be no snitch. And you know what's happening right next door to you. You can't be safe. Violence can. We're going to need police to deal with certain phases of violence, but we can offset that as well. So we got to remember that same way with our children. We got to make sure our children understand. And children are so confused. They was confined to the home. And Coach Elwood mentioned about virtual. The only problem I have with it, because when people was, they was forced to do it, they had no plan. They was flying an airplane and trying to build it as they was flying it. I'm talking about when school was closed down on March the 13th. Your school, your leader was not ready to implement somewhere, because I know several was already using it within their setting, within their school, in their school. So they was ready to give the students that work. But if they go to online education, it's not going to be pretty much done with the school system. It's going to be online education. It can come through the University of Alabama, and they have individuals, because I did online. You can do it. You have your assignment, and your parents will make sure, just like as an adult, you should be able to make sure, and if your child, make sure. It can work if you got accountability, but it was no accountability from the start. I'm going to be honest, because I heard parents say this, especially in Montgomery, that all you had to do is, and what they said, you're not going to get credit for it if your grades ended as of the third 9 weeks. So the last 9 weeks, you didn't have to turn nothing in if you already had a good enough grade. School lasts, those 9 weeks are important. It's 36 weeks. That was not the children. It was a sense of the parents. It was the school system not ready to deal with this. Because even if they was whatever, they should have to turn in work. They have to make sure they do the work. Even if they did it on hard copies, and hold them accountable. We got to hold everybody accountable. But that's what we're talking about. Virtual school learning can work if it's done not by the school system. It can't be done. It's always, and we're going to hear a lot of plans come out on Friday. One of them in the state of Alabama, how they're going to deal with it, because they got to be ready for people who don't want to come back to school. We have to address that. In the United Kingdom, they had only 40% of their students return on for face-to-face. The other chose not to, so we have to use virtual learning. But you have to organize. It can work if we organize it. We got to be prepared. We know we had a couple months to get prepared, so we're going to see what the plan's going to be. All right, Coach, we're going to kind of move forward and get into the social unrest. A lot of players now realize the voice that they have on the college level. I've seen it more on the college level. We know the pros are stepping. Some of them are stepping out. We know the situation about the bubble with the NBA restarting the season. You saw our Major League Baseball flop starting the season. That's why I thought it was just coming up with games. Well, we're going to play 70 games. They were trying to make sure to keep their money intact, too. So they eventually the commissioner said 60 games. Ain't no talking back because he can do that. He has the power. So you got to. You got a lot of players optioning out, which was today, to play the rest of the season for the NBA because of underlying health condition. Or some of them optioning out because they don't want to hurt their trading stock. So you got a lot of stuff going on. So you can option out. They can't make you do anything, but social unrest and racial equality. We've seen a lot of players speaking up. We've had several coaches, and I want Coach to share his thoughts on this too, that made some statements about a person identifying a person or a race with a derogatory word, like the N-word. And they've been called to the carpet. The head coach been called to the carpet. And it was done by a player. That player said, we were not going to hear the field. So the social unrest and the racial equality, social justice we're fighting for, players realize they got a voice. Coach, what's your thoughts on that?
Big time, Dr. Smith. I think we're going, and you know, like I said up here, and I talk a lot, Dr. Smith, about, you know, social injustices, and that's almost the main issue. We're in a stage where we're in a vessel, Dr. Smith, and you can do two things in your vessel. In a vessel, you can ride your vessel. You can stay on the path, correct path, and sometimes you get to your goal. You get to your destination. On some vessels, you ride in the vessel. You got a bumpy ride. Sometimes the vessel smooths out, then you get to your destination. But on some vessels, you hit rocky road and you never make it to your destination. That's almost the life of being a minority, Dr. Smith. Like Dr. King used to say, let's do it the right way, and we can get more done. If we do it the wrong way, it will be harder to get done. When he said those words, it meant a lot because he was telling us of color that if we do it the right way, no matter what comes at us, the road will smoothen out. But he said we can come out here and act a fool and do what we need to do. It'll eventually get done, but it'll take a longer process to get it done. So with the social justice, you know, be mindful for what you're asking for. Make sure it means something to you. And I want you to know what's going on. You know, a lot of people jump on the train just because. The issue in Montgomery right now is the renaming of the high school. It's a big deal to an extent, but I'm not going to lose any sleep over it. Like I said, I graduated from Jefferson Davis High School. That name, we knew what that name meant then. We know what it means now. There's no difference in the definition of that name. We know what Jefferson Davis did. But like I said, Dr. Smith, we went to that school, I didn't get any deal with any social injustice in the school. You know what I'm saying? Not by behind the name. That name meant something in Montgomery, like every other name meant something in Montgomery. It's just, and you know, a lot of people say it's just a name. Well, if it's just a name change, give them what they want. The numbers in the city have flip-flopped, so Montgomery looks a whole different way than it looked 40, 50 years ago. It looks a whole different way. So if you need to change those school names, change them. If you're in a sense where that name bothers you that much, because I don't think these jokers are acting a fool because of Jeff Davis, Dr. Smith, and Robert E. Lee. These jokers are acting a fool because of where they are. They can name their school the Martin Luther King, Malcolm X, or whatever they want. It's up to them to change the behavior in the school. And like I said, Dr. Smith, it's nothing changing in that. And let's make a difference on the inside out instead of going on the outside in. Because it's a lot of changes I see that we need to make amongst ourselves before we can get anywhere close to getting this issue to change where we ride on equality. Because it's a lot going on, Dr. Smith. And like I said earlier, the discipline in your city determines your COVID-19 number. If your city is not disciplined, if our state is not disciplined, our numbers would keep rising. And you know what I'm saying? I look at the social injustice going on, but there is also a pandemic going on, Dr. Smith. And we know the social guidelines. We have been spiking ever since the social issues been going on. So all in all, Dr. Smith, I'm with the movement. But let me touch this right quick before I go off. With the NBA players and the NFL players, like you said, some NBA players have bagged out. I think when the last day was the 24th, Dr. Smith? Was it the 24th?
Today, as of 12 o'clock tonight.
Now, a lot of jokers that have been talking, I don't see their names on this list, Dr. Smith. I'm going to say that, man. Because it was a lot of jokers talking about the movement. And when them jokers said they couldn't pay you, them tones changed. You know what I'm saying? So if you're going to not play and be through with it. If you are going to play, if you are going to be sold to the movement, stay up to the movement. But don't go halfway on it. Because a lot of y'all a lot of the NBA players are looking at, we ain't going to make it past this little 8 games. So we ain't going to worry about it. You know what I'm saying? It's stuff like that. So like I said, they're going to stay up to the movie, stay up to the movie.
And to add to that, what coaches also focus on when you're talking about players having the opportunity to actually share their thoughts about what may be something they felt is racial inequality, social justice. You have several players. I know Hill, the running back down at Mississippi State, said he was not playing unless they take the Confederate piece out of their state flag. And you got seven. That's what I'm saying. More players are being able to speak out. More players are focusing on making changes. You know, we know what has happened with NASCAR with Bubba Wallace. The Confederate flag was removed, and then we had the noose found on the draw of the door, pulling the door down. And there's some solidarity. That's super. But a lot of players realize if they know a coach said something at the time, it was okay because they have a voice. They have a voice now. So we have a great opportunity to make changes. Not always taking a statue down, but we can make some changes. I was concerned when Dr. Edwards, Harry Edwards out of University of California, Berkeley, when he said that we can march for pain, be studied for pain, for change. March for pain, but be studied for change. We got to be studied to be changed. We can't just get marched and be upset. We got to have a reason why. We got to fight for injustice in all phases. In college sports, we're asking you to do the same thing. You know, for the life of me, and I don't know how many of you all realize this, 100 senators in the U.S. Congress, House of Senate, and only one black. So we got to have see change in that. We got to see change in the commissioners that are multi-million basketball players and football players, and see maybe a black commissioner. We got to see, they did not tear that statue, tear that down, because that's systemic racism there, and we don't realize it. All the coaches and the coaches are now listening to the players. You know, the coaches in the Power Five. You know, now it's time. If we're gonna voice, we're not gonna play unless you can get. You know, we can get a black head coach as well. We can play the game, but we can't coach it. The thing is, tide is changing in NFL. Where at times I can remember 747, Joe 747 Adams out of Tennessee State. He way ahead all the players back then. He was drafted, but they say he couldn't play quarterback because he refused to just sit in that pocket and get crashed. Threw for over 12,000 yards in college at Tennessee State University, but he couldn't play because they really wasn't open to having a black quarterback. These are the kind of things you begin to see change. NASCAR is a change. We're going to see changes, but the players can make it happen. I love to have all that money from the NBA players, but all this money, I want to know $100 million going to do what? What are we trying to change? Are we going to do block by block? This is what we're talking about. Well, we're going to move the agenda. The calling number is 347-857-4192. Press 1, and I'll make sure I get you on so you can chat with us and share your expertise as well. Coach, let's move to the situation in our historical black colleges and universities. Teams that are leaving one conference, for those individuals that's not aware, historical black colleges and universities conferences are the Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference, that's on the East Coast. Then you have the Southwest Athletic Conference, that's in that southern part of the southeastern part of the United States, meaning southern part, southwest. You have the CIAA, which is the Central Intercollegiate Athletic Association, that's on that East Coast. Then you have the Southern Intercollegiate Athletic Conference, consists of, if schools you had heard of, Tuskegee University, Clark out of Atlanta, Morehouse. Those are the four conferences that make up the historical black colleges and universities. But we're going to talk about some realignment and a posture of some super conference. But before we do that, we want to take a stab at what's happening in the MEAC. Recently, the board of trustees for the university, I won't say Florida A&M University, decided to lead the Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference to go to the SWAC, which is the Southwest Athletic Conference. Again, for those people not aware, we're talking about those schools at FAMU, Howard, Hampton already left the MEAC, North Carolina A&T, North Carolina Central, South Carolina State, those schools that made up that Mid-Eastern Athletic Conference. FAMU traveling from Tallahassee, if they go into South Carolina State, it's a 5 to 6 hour drive. And it's costly on them. So they decided to vote, and they did vote to leave the MEAC to go to the SWAC conference. So their farthest ride might be a total 5 hours. Their the minimum ride from the FAMU to in the MEAC to South Carolina State is 5 hours. The maximum is 10 to 12 hours. Now, the maximum they may encounter is 6 hours in the SWAC. Now, Bethune-Cookman has decided to have a discussion about possibly leading the MEAC as well to go to the SWAC or the ASUN. Coach, what's your thoughts on those teams voting to move to a conference that are a lot closer to them and save some money and galvanize some fans and so on? I know they have fans, but they can have their games can have more inside the stadium. Coach, what's your thoughts on that?
big time for the squat. You know, like you said, the MEAC is kind of falling apart right now due to location. Like they were the most spread out conference I've ever seen. Dude, the MEAC has it was everywhere, and you wonder, like I used to always wonder why Florida has a lot of black colleges, but they're playing at a lower division. You see a lot of those small schools playing at lower divisions, like Edward Waters. You know, we see them at Turkey Day every now and then. We look at the CIAA that comes all up and down that coast. If the FAMU and Bethune would have been in the CIAA, it would have been a different. They would have been playing quality opponents and they would have been playing up close. But Dr. Smith, this is a big plus for the SWAT, a big plus, because every game is almost gonna be like we said, classic. Yeah, so we'll see how this works, Dr. Smith. I'm excited.
I am as well, Coach, because just having a FAMU and they won't start playing in a SWAC until 2021 season. Bethune-Cookman making the decision, so they'll move in. Coach and I, we sat on the phone the other day and talked about how they can realign this. This is what we're talking about. The historical black colleges and universities realign. And realign where the Florida A&M and the Bethune-Cookman, where I said a longest ride might be 6 hours for their team and their fans, coming to the SWAC, which will be the eastern side of the conference. And Alcorn, which is right there on the line where Louisiana is, will move to the western part. So you have six over on that side. That's include Alcorn, Southern. This is just our thought process. Grambling, and you have Texas Southern, you have Prairie View, and Arkansas Pine Bluff will make up the west. Those are going to be some awesome games. And you got some powerhouse over there, at least three or four. On the east, you'll have the Alabama State, the Alabama A&M, you have the Jackson State, you have the Mississippi Valley, then you have the FAMU and the Bethune-Cookman. Man, that's going to be something to see. The competition going to be at a high level. The fans will now be restored to coming back. You either have to get up off that park and make something happen or stay down there and be stuck there because you're going to have to play to a high level. You can't play like you've been playing. 4 and 5 won't, 4 and 7 won't work. 4 and 6 won't. Four won't work. 5 and 7 won't work. 5 and 6 won't work. You got to be able to compete. You're going to have a conference that's making everybody compete. At least 16 to 17 out of the 12, possibly 8, going to make you compete at a high level. Every game will be a classic game. Everybody can be there. Instead of paying the Power 5 conferences to get your head beat in and get your $500,000, you can have a place, a complex to play these games, which is whether it's in Nashville, whether it's in Atlanta, whether it's in Florida, wherever it may be, in Jacksonville, or where it's in New Orleans. You play these games and you can put 50 to 60,000 people in there. That's what we're looking at. So excited. Now, on the other side of the MEAC, the biggest challenge they're going to have is trying to hold on much longer to the teams that they have in the MEAC. And there are several teams that's in the MEAC, and they're trying to hold on, and they're in close proximity to each other anyway. So we're looking at a situation where money's being saved, and one of the things we're looking at in realignment and a super conference is those schools that in geographical proximity of the teams in the MEAC, a couple of them are leaving. North Carolina A&T in 2021 is leaving as well. You also have Hampton already in left. You have Howard's still there, but Tennessee State, as you know, they are playing in the conference with Tennessee Chattanooga. So you got them up there, which is a PWI conference, the Dominant White Institution Conference. It is close proximity for them, and that's what FAMU is doing. That's what Bethune-Cookman is doing. So they're trying to make sure they're able to play those schools that are going to help them save money, help them keep their fans coming and being in the stands. So we just have to keep that in mind. We hate to see this happen to the MEAC, but they have to take the schools and galvanize the Winston-Salem's. They have to take the Coffin State. They have to take the Norfolk State and those schools that was in there and try to it will kind of shatter the CIAA and just make a super conference, including some teams from the SIAC, some teams from the CIAA to kind of get strength back to the MEAC. This is what we're looking at. That's what the realignment is happening. That's the change. So look for this in 2021 when they're going to do more games, when the conference like the SWAT, the Southwest Athletic Conference, become a super conference. They're going to not only add FAMU, not only add Bethune-Cookman, eventually I feel there's going to be other teams like the Miles and the Tuskegee's going to decide to come and be a part of this conference. You're talking about being now, realigned to a super conference, if not realigned to have teams are close of geographical proximity. And that's what we're going to actually see in the next few years. So get ready to see the historical black conference becoming a super conference so they can compete at the high level. For them to compete at Division I level, the historical black colleges and universities, they have at least seven teams that play football, and then basketball is included. Right now, the MEAC has seven teams because they have lost and will lose four coming up in 2021. North Carolina A&T, Florida A&M, Bethune-Cookman, and also they already lost Hampton. So that's four from the 11 that they have. So they left about seven. So they're going to have to work with the CIAA. So we see some changes coming on in regards to that. Coach, we're down to probably about 3 or 4 minutes. Let's kind of talk a little bit again about these things that we look to happen in regards to high school. If you had to pinpoint one of the reasons why we're seeing some challenges with making sure safety measures are followed, what would you offer as a suggestion or your thoughts in regards to safety measures, why COVID-19 is going on, why social unrest is going on? We'll focus more on COVID-19. What's your thoughts that these high schools can do so we can share with our listening audience in regards to what they can do to make this thing better and manageable?
Dr. Smith, me. If I was the governor, if I was the president, if I was the Alabama High School Association president, they wouldn't like it. I'm still right now. Because, like I said, more emphasis was put on this disease, this virus, this showstopper. More emphasis was put on it in the beginning than it is now. Like I said, in the beginning, we had one or two jokes. And we shut down the schools, we shut down everything. We shut down stores for some days. So right now we wide open like ain't nothing going on. You're going to have some spikes. So as a Alabama High School Association president, what I would do, we would be shut down till at least the last weekend in July. We'll have to filter all this out. I'm pushing as far as to the end as I can, and we will end up going to gameplay with minimal or little summer workout. So I'm gonna push into the end of July, early August, and we'll start our season in September, right around Labor Day. We won't play no jamborees. We're not playing anything outside of our area. So that's just me. I'm gonna say that. That's just me, Dr. Smith. But I think my safety measures would be on another level. My coaches wouldn't be going through what they're going through now. I just think these are the criteria. I think that's the criteria of the colleges, which have the money to go through with this stuff. But That's what I would do, Doctor.
And I'm with him. His thoughts in regards to making sure that we can get a little control on these safety measures that we're asking our high schools to be able to do it. Your larger school, fine. And one of the other things, you know, even though Coach said let's move it back and let's start in September or even in August, and the end of July we're going to kick back up and everybody can get ready to start up on the season. That's a good thought because I mean you can play. You also, Coach, mentioned recently about probably only playing 8 games because you got to remember, the second wave is coming in September. Second wave. That's during football season. And you just can't say we got to keep playing because you're not going to be able to play. I don't care what nobody say, because you find out it's not just those individuals that are 60 and older. You got them from babies. You even got some people talking about cats. You know, you got all kind of things that is contracting COVID-19. But if you get these players out there among each other, is it possible that when we have a second wave, the season going to be over with anyway? So let's take this time where some situation, Coach said, move the summer workouts and at times shorten the season, probably play about 8 games instead of trying to play all these games. Then on top of that, I would also suggest that those schools who cannot have the coach to check the temperature like it was suggested and recommended for them to open up, those are not able to clean the weights off, if they are not able to stop their students from mingling, like they said, to go straight home, then you probably won't be able to play any football. You won't, I'm sorry, all volleyball. That sounds hard, but you got to be held accountable on your end. The high school association give you recommendations just like the CDC, just like other individual public health, and it's up to us to enforce these. They don't give you where you got it, where it's recommended, but you at the grassroots level needs to enforce these things. This ain't a time to say we're taking away, like somebody, I saw a city council, New Jersey, I believe, and they said you got to mandatory wear masks, and the people started screaming, that's our constitutional right. We don't have to wear a mask. Come on, where y'all at? This time, I ain't thinking about no constitutional right. We think about lives. One life we lose is important, and that's the thinking we have to have. Stop thinking about ourselves and think about, if we think about ourselves, we'll wear the mask. Nobody said, you can challenge and say it may not work, but I think it gives you a little bit of sense of protection with yourself mentally. You know, at least I have a chance. And we can't do some of those things in sports. We're dealing with something. Avery Bradley option out too. He's one of them that also said with Kyrie Irving that we no need to play, and Dwight Howard, and they got the coalition together, but he optioned out because he doesn't want to carry home to his family. And he got some members that would be highly at high risk. Decision we got to make like that. That's a decision I applaud Avery Bradley for doing. Are you able to do it? We need you to do that with your family, your friends. Talk about stay home and stay alive. Stress that. Don't laugh about something that you think will be that can take many lives. We know it'll have over 120,000 individuals die, and all of them are not 60 and older. So get that out your mind. Everybody can die from this. So let's practice the safety measures that are suggested. Wear your mask. If it's not essential, like the state of Texas said, don't need the governor saying you don't need to be out. This was said from the beginning. And now we see what happened. We was able to go out and do stuff. Let's put it together. Let's save one child's life in regards to on the athletic field, whether it be in a gym, or whatever it may be. Let's save one life. That way, once we can save that one life, we can save all lives. That's what we got to focus on. That's what it's all about. Trey, we about to wrap this thing up. We 4 minutes over the time. Is that closing? Any thoughts you want to share with them before we close this up?
No, Dr. Smith, be back next week, baby. Let's get this thing rolling. Let's get it back rolling, baby. We got to mass gas and punch it. We got to hit all subjects, Dr. Smith. But I'm glad to be here with the, tonight, Dr. Cliff. You know, I'll be calling y'all all day tomorrow to talk about everything. So I'll be hitting you up tomorrow, Dr. Cliff. Have a good night.
Hey, thank you so much, Trey. Good night to you as well. And thank Trey for joining us. Our other individual, I didn't mention their name, but I'm going to make sure when they call in, I normally be give them a raving introduction. But since they didn't call in, but still the other part, other group of our team is Coach Lauren D. Smith, our millennial and the lady of the hour. Proud. That's my daughter, and she coming at. Matter of fact, her and Cameron, who's another one of our millennials, has a show on Sunday night. They're working on now, and Monday night. I'm so proud to have them doing that. We have our radio personality, Dale E-Train Elliott. We have also from South Central Alabama, retired with Alabama High School Athletic Association. He's an individual volunteer experts that comes in, and they're part of our team and co-host, none other than Coach Tony Stallworth. He was not with us tonight, but I know their prayers are with us, the thoughts are with it, and our prayers and thoughts are with them as well. Like I said, we're at the end, and, you know, it's always good to be able to share some things with you, and hopefully we share something with you that will allow you to understand what we're dealing with. And we're in a new norm now. Everything is not the same. And you have to stress that with each and every one of your family members, that you just can't do what you used to do, because we'll be at a point of no return. This next fight in the next 2 weeks can put us at a point of no return. So let's keep that in mind. Let's take it block by block, grassroots. Let's deal with our social unrest, social issues that we must address, injustice, inequalities, you know, racial equality we're fighting for. Let's continue to fight. Let's create the plan, make the plan work so we can get out and vote. We have our election on July the 14th, which is a election that was scheduled for March, but it was not because of COVID-19, and you have a runoff election. So if you're having one in your area, vote. Make sure you vote. Don't let the long line keep you from vote and voice your vote. And in November, make sure you're out there voting, because it's important. If we want change, we got to continue to push the plan through, and we got to make sure we're working together to have change. And that's what it's all about. So it's been awesome tonight. Like I said, we don't own the rights to these songs and the music that we play, but, you know, we got to have it where we believe we much more than at a point of no return, a point of it all. The reason why we do this, because we love you. My hashtag is always stay home and stay alive, keep on grinding. And I want to give a shout out to these individuals that's joining us. We have individuals that's on the board. I'm going to give them a shout out in a minute. The next hashtag is communicate for understanding. We got an awesome show planned for tomorrow. The Love Cafe starts at 6 o'clock. I want you to check it out, because we're going to be talking about relationships. We're going to talk about relationships and not about the bling, but 100% about love. We're going to talk about it tomorrow at 6 o'clock. So join me at 6 o'clock on Blog Talk Radio as well as Facebook. Give a shout out to Kevin Dunning, Odessa Blessing, my brother of Phi Beta Sigma Fraternity, and I'm hitting buttons and going all over the place. We have Edna Richardson, a cohort of mine with a career tech. She's a director down in Monroe County. She's a member of Delta Sigma Theta Sorority Incorporated. We have Nicole Davidson, one of my former students from McKinsey. She's in the military serving our country. And I say thank you, Nicole. Thank you so much for your service. Also, we have John Blackman. Thank you, John, for joining us so much. You know, it's so much to have. I'm so excited to have you all here. We have LaTanya. Thank you, LaTanya, so much. Lisa Maria Smith Sherrod, thank you so much for joining us. Tasima Jackson, thank you, Tasima, for joining us. It's always good to have you on there. Good friend. Thank you so much. We also have one of my former students. They had a birthday recently. She was on the show and she went live with me, and that's Beverly Lachey Johnson down there from McKinsey. Nicole Bagan is from McKinsey. and both of them were one of my were students when I was coaching and teaching down there. Thank you so much, and hashtag stay at home and stay alive. That's it. We have Faye Treadwell Smith. Thank you, Faye, so much for joining us. Charlie's Angels, Nurse Jackson, thank you for joining us so much as well. Faye is a member of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated. We give her a shout-out because the Divine Nine has joined us. Mob is my Lord Smith. Thank you so much, my brother. And he has a broadcast that comes on, and I'm going to make sure I get that date so you can check him out. He do a lot of gospel, and he do some music. He DJing the word of the Lord, DJing the music, the praise that the praise music that we give to our Lord and Savior. This is Melba Pope Wright, member of 580 Sigma Fraternity. We have the Queen Minister Lewis. Thank you so much. The host, sometimes co-host, coming in and every now and then on the other shows, the host of the Minister Shannon Show. We had that on Thursday, the fourth Thursday of the month. Thank you, Minister Shannon. Minister Shannon Lewis, thank you so much. And that's all we have listed here. I thank each and every one of y'all for joining us. It has been good. And like I said, we got to remember that all is happening now, no matter how tough it is. You know, a lot of people go through things. Last week I laid to rest my father, who I served as a caregiver for him on last Thursday, my hero. And then on February, laid to rest my sister, my oldest sister, on February the 8th, and she passed on February the 1st. Then my uncle, which is my dad's youngest brother, passed on February the 2nd. So we had those things going on in 2020. But God is good. We know each and every one of them in a better place. And we know you as you prepare yourself for what we know is our journey that we all have to travel. We got to transition. And I'll tell you, because how you feel about each other is important. No matter what's going on, COVID-19, that's why I said you can tell your brothers and sisters and your friends, stay at home, because we're trying to defeat this thing. It's not going to end tomorrow. It's going to have a wave in September, and a possible wave in December. It's going to go into 2021 when they said we don't have a vaccine, but we have to go to trial and error with the vaccine. So prepare that. It's going to be a new norm, and you got to understand that. And it's because of the point of it all that we have to live and live right, and that's what it's all about. You know, I tell everybody as we leave, and you tell your family members this, your friends this, and I shout it out because I'm glad I can shout it out to you. And I always tell you, I love you, and in a thing you can do about it, have an awesome night. Check us out tomorrow at 6 o'clock, the Love Cafe, the listening, overcoming.
I can't stay away from you too long. Even if I do, I'll always call. Checking on you, make sure you're okay. Be the one to brighten up your day. Yeah, yeah. And the point of it all, I love you.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know I love you, baby. Oh, oh. My days seem long whenever we're apart. It's like someone has stolen away my heart. You're a major part of my life. And no matter what the storm may bring, I'm fine with you. And the point of it all, I love you. And the reason reason for it all. I love you.
Yeah.
Oh, I love.
Close it out. It's been-